It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's David Cobb is a college basketball and college football writer for CBS Sports, and he joins me now via the phone line on X at David W. Cobb. David, what's happening, man? How are you?
What is happening, Gabe? A busy Wednesday in our neck of the woods here. Yeah.
Yeah, you could say that. Now, you ended up writing about Penny Hardaway and the staff changes. Four coaches are out. They're going to completely redo the staff 2 months before the season. What stands out about this, it's not crazy to think that Penny Hardaway's staff has a lot of changes. It happens every single offseason. But the timing and the amount of coaches definitely stand out. What's your thought on this, and where do you stand on the news drop we got today and then through last night?
Oh, man, I got a lot of thoughts. I got a lot of thoughts on it, a lot of opinions. I've talked to some people who are close to that situation, and it's not ideal, and Penny acknowledges much in his statement with the timing of it. You're 2 months out from the beginning of the season. You got only one scholarship player returning, and now you're dealing with a massive amount of turnover on your staff. And so I guess the perspective that perhaps I can provide that is a little unique is from the national point of view.
Sure.
It's kind of evidence in the category of like, hey, what's going on there? That is an amateur operation, right? This is the perception that is being furthered nationally. I know people in Memphis are still going to, some of them anyway, are still going to ride with Penny, and they're going to say, hey, look, if we bring in Nolan Smith, then it's an upgrade, right? If we bring in Mike Davis, you know, it's an upgrade, and fair, right? But I think nationally the perception is this is dysfunctional. This is not normal. This is not how good programs operate. You don't see Kansas and Baylor and Houston and teams of that caliber doing things like this. And so nationally the perception is this is off the rails and that Memphis is set up for future dysfunction as a result of the fact that it's turning over its entire coaching staff in September.
Yep.
So that's the national perception. I've got more local thoughts. It's way more nuanced than that.
Yes.
You know, but that's sort of, I think, what most people think when they look at it from outside the city.
Yeah, I think what's pretty clear to me, and this is what I opened my opening segment on, is Ed Scott, new AD, gets in the late July, and about 6 weeks later, you see all of these changes happening.
Mm-hmm.
He probably looked at Penny Hardaway's program, saw the amount of, staff members he had, said it was a little bit too much, and he probably had a little bit too many yes men. But I think overarchingly, you have a leader in Ed Scott who stepped in and he said, this is dysfunctional. Something has to change. And that's ultimately, to me, what happened. Now, obviously, I think it's way more nuanced than that. There's a lot of different things that led to this, and I think it's all dysfunction. But for me, just looking at it from being in the city of Memphis, seeing Ed Scott, you know, finally get his handprints on this athletic department, I don't think it's that much of a surprise that this is happening right this second when Ed Scott is going through the first few months of his tenure here.
Yeah, and it's more than a coincidence. You know, Jason Munns, who you're going to talk to in just a few minutes, right? He had a story out late last month about Ed Scott acknowledging that Memphis has self-reported that Malcolm Dandridge academic issue to the NCAA. And so if the NCAA is investigating and you have people on your staff who may have had some level, any level of complicity in that,
sure,
it's only going to help you to get rid of them, right?
Yeah.
So you want to, they're going to cooperate in that investigation. This isn't 2019 where we're taking the NCAA to court and, you know, Memphis versus everybody. No, this is a, hey, We messed up. This was going on in our program. And so what do you do in those situations to mitigate the potential penalties, especially when you've already been in hot water with the NCAA previously? And what you do is you come up with some sacrificial lambs, and you kind of let them take the fall, and you hope that mitigates the penalty. And so, you know, I know there's been conflicting reports about, no, this wasn't because Ed Scott told Penny to do this. This wasn't because they're scared of the NCAA.
It's all of it.
I was told, hey, look, I was told these were Penny's moves. And here's what can be true, Gabe. These can be Penny's moves, his decisions that he reached after some information was presented to him, right?
Like some advice from Ed Scott, potentially.
Advice, not a mandate, not
right.
A, hey, I'm here and I'm telling you what to do, but a, hey, we've got this investigation going on. You've been in trouble a lot recently with the NCAA. It may be in your best interest here to consider doing this.
Yep.
And that's not you know, Penny being told exactly what to do, but it's Penny being advised on how to operate. And I would guess that is kind of what's going on here.
Now, here's my big argument against that. Now, I do think the investigation with the NCAA and Malcolm Dandridge and the academic issues, I think this has something to do with it. Like, I you can't convince me otherwise. But I don't think it was the end-all, be-all of this, because if you were trying to mitigate what the NCAA was going to pass down to you, this could have potentially been done 3 months ago, and I would imagine that advice would have been in his ear even then. I know Laird Veach was probably on the way out. You were going through a transition period. But if you were trying to get the issues mitigated from that particular NCAA investigation, this should have been done months ago.
Yeah, it could have been, but Ed Scott's just now in a position where he's wrapping his arms around
right.
What this program is. He's had a lot going on the football side, on the NIL side. He's probably been trying to buy a house. I mean, you know, and then
yeah.
the sport administrator, right, it just started. You know, he's coming in from University of New Orleans, right? So, you know, he may have had some level of influence in these discussions, right? So it's there's a lot of things. And I think the Laird Veach thing that you bring up is interesting, because when Laird Veach started as the AD in 2019, Penny was already the coach, and Penny was untouchable in that
yep.
moment. He had just landed the nation's number one recruiting class. Big things were expected. Season ticket sales were through the roof. Donor contributions were high. The national interest in Memphis basketball was as high as it's been since Derrick Rose was at Memphis. It was pulsating. So Laird Veach is going to come in. He's not going to touch the golden goose or try to tell Penny Hardaway how to do his job. Well, now all of a sudden, 5 years later, it's a different situation that Ed Scott is in with Penny Hardaway. And I think Ed Scott has a little bit more leverage to lean on Penny a little bit and make suggestions and be more hands-on with basketball. And not in a way that he's going to tell Penny how to do the job, but he's, I think, just doing what a good AD should do, which is to try to look out for the good of the entire department and look out for the program. And sometimes that means, in some cases, sort of protecting the head coach from himself.
Yes, and I will say, when you just look at the hires that have been made by Penny Hardaway in general, there is some questions. Like, before these guys got let go, Faraji Phillips, Jamie Rosser, Demetrius Dyson, we obviously knew what Rick Stansberry's role was. But there were so many staffers that have been let go this offseason that you did have to ask the question, what exactly do they do around here? Like, is that fair for me? You did have to ask the question, okay, you have all these staff members. There's only so many jobs to do. What do these certain guys do on a day-to-day basis for you?
Right. And that's, in some ways, the staff had begun to resemble a little bit of a Memphis basketball sort of good old boys club in a way.
Yep.
A lot of these guys came up through Memphis. They knew each other through the grassroots ranks. And, you know, there's certainly value in the local knowledge, the local passion. The guys who are going to be ride or die with the school, there is value in that. But then there's also value in going out and getting a Nolan Smith, potentially, right, if that comes to fruition. A Mike Davis, who's been a head coach various places around the country. And I was told, you know, this is an opportunity now to spin it forward, spin it positively, right? An opportunity for Penny Hardaway to go out a little bit out of his comfort zone, surround himself with some really quality basketball minds,
People that could potentially hold him accountable, too, in certain situations.
Try to move this thing forward. You got a good roster. Yeah, there's a lot of turnover. There's only one scholarship player back. Like, this is going to be difficult. You got to go to Maui in less than 3 months and play against some of the best teams in college basketball. It's not going to be easy with a whole bunch of people that don't know each other and a whole bunch of coaches who have never worked together. Like, it's going to be tough. But Memphis has a really good roster. Penny, the floor, the one thing you can always say about Penny is that the floor has remained very high.
Yeah.
The floor is 20 wins. I think that's the case again this year. That's not good enough, but the floor is high. The talent is there. You go out and get some good, new, fresh faces on this staff, and you try and turn the page.
Now, there's some people that don't like hearing this, people that will always be in Penny's corner. And I think Penny, making it work here at the University of Memphis is the best thing for this basketball program. There's just no doubt about it. I've never called for his job, although there is some things that you know, could happen that potentially, you know, could make me rethink those, like that idea. But here's the truth of it. There's always been a cloud of dysfunction over this program since Penny Hardaway took over. And the other part of it is, and I understand why this is the case, but there are coaches that have been let go for a lot less dysfunction than what Penny Hardaway has displayed through 6 years. That is just naturally the case. And I understand why. Penny Hardaway is a legend. You want to make it work out. You don't want to have another Larry Finch situation toward the end of his tenure. I get all of that. But there's a lot of coaches around the country that can't get away with this type of dysfunction in a program over a 5-6 year period.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, if you want to fire Penny Hardaway, you have enough to do that. Whether you could do that with cause or not, talk to Tom Mars, talk to a lawyer, I don't know, right? But if Penny Hardaway were not Penny Hardaway, if he were had a different name, right, then maybe those conversations would have been underway already. And now you get into a situation where you got a new athletic director. Penny maybe doesn't quite have the level of goodwill that he had 5 years ago now, right? And so, you know, does it get to a point where Memphis is eager to make a change? I can't see that. I can't see the donors just turning on Penny and there being this huge upswell of support within the fan base for a firing. That's
right.
Hard for me to imagine getting to that point. And then that's where it's kind of at with Penny. It's like the floor is so high from a performance perspective that it's difficult to justify. But if you go another year without an NCAA tournament victory, you got more NCAA issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfectly within the realm of sensibility for the power brokers to consider making a change.
Yeah, and that's the truth of it. I think what this really does signal to me is that this is an inflection point in Penny Hardaway's career. Is it going to work or is it not? I still believe in the team that he has and the roster that he has, but making all these sweeping changes 2 months before the season tells me very clearly that the people behind the scenes may be running out of patience with the dysfunction that continues to percolate through that program. That much is should be very clear to everybody that has seen this news.
Right, and it's the honeymoon is over. He got a longer honeymoon than a lot of coaches do. And then, as always, when you consider, hey, if we get to a point in however many months or a year or two down the line or whenever that we are seriously considering making a move, You best do your homework on who might be willing to take the job.
And the truth of the matter is, like, I will say this, and I completely agree with this sentiment. I want it to work out for Penny Hardaway because the grass is not always greener on the other side, no matter how bad you think it is right now or how bad you think it could get from a dysfunction standpoint under Penny Hardaway. The grass is not always greener. We understand that from the Tubby Smith era and the back end of the Josh Pastner era.
Yeah, 100%. And if you're going to run a legend out, you need to know that whoever you're getting to replace the legend can really upgrade the thing. And Memphis is in a position with the NIL resources. Everything you hear is how good of a position Memphis is in from an NIL standpoint right now. And then you look at the league and the competition that Memphis is up against. You know, Memphis should really dominate the AAC. It really shouldn't be particularly close either. Now, look, obviously anything can happen in a conference tournament. That's in a whole other ball game. But when you just think about the regular season AAC standings, with the resources Memphis has, with the passion it has, the fan base it has, the talent it attracts, there's no excuse, no reason not to win the AAC.
Now, of these four names, like Demetrius Dyson, Jamie Ross, or Faraji Phillips, whatever, like, you know, they get let go, you don't really freak out about it. The one name that really did catch me, though, Rick Stansberry being let go from this staff after the really good, I mean, he did pretty well when Penny was suspended, and he did really well on the recruiting trail because that's what his calling card is. I was kind of... I was taken aback by that particular move, Rick Stansberry being let go.
That's where you just kind of wonder about the internal power dynamic
of
Penny Hardaway being there with a guy like Rick Stansberry, who is a college basketball lifer. You know, there's always sort of been this Penny versus the establishment sort of narrative where, you know, he comes in with his chip on his shoulder and he's not the guy that came up as a GA and then did his dues as a end of the bench assistant and then, you know, finally got his head coaching opportunity after 25 years. And there is some jealousy among other coaches in college basketball over the fact that he was able to make that jump from the high school ranks to a really good college basketball head coaching job. And then you have Rick Stansberry, who sort of embodies the establishment and who was a SEC head coach and was, you know, a head coach prior to taking the assistant job on the Memphis staff. He's used to running his own program, and you just wonder sort of about how that worked internally between the two of them. And, you know, I think these developments suggest that that it wasn't a perfect marriage, and that sort of seems to be a theme for Penny with his staff hire.
That certainly has to be a change, though, because the more you hear about power dynamics with, you know, big name coaches, whether it's Mike Miller or Slick Rick Stansberry, like the more you just feel like that's going to be a perpetuated problem going forward. And
well,
that's not a good thing.
I mean, delegation is a skill, and you know, you're not just coaching a basketball team, you're running a corporation.
Yes.
When you're in charge of a program like University of Memphis men's basketball. And that's the organizational skills, the ability to delegate tasks to other people, the clear definition of roles. You know, all these things are really important in college coaching. And you know, those who have the most success tend to be really good CEOs. And you see it the continuity throughout some of the very best programs in college basketball. You think about the assistants that have been there under Bill Self at Kansas for nearly his entire tenure, like Norm Roberts and Kirk Townsend. And, you know, you look at UConn, two national titles in a row with the same group of assistants there on the bench. And that continuity, it seeps into the fabric of your program, and it makes a difference. This isn't let's just rebuild a roster on the fly, rebuild a staff on the fly, and then go out and win another national title. No, not at all. I mean, yeah, UConn deals with roster turnover just like everyone else in college basketball, but there's a certain level of fabric, DNA that is there year in, year out, and that goes for the successful programs across the board in college basketball, and that's obviously, you know, just been sorely lacking at Memphis.
And then just generally, I've said this on multiple occasions, and again, people don't like it. I think Penny Hardaway, the roster builder, is good. I think Penny Hardaway, the program builder, has a lot of work to be done, right? There's a lot of work that still needs to be done through 6 years on building a program, having some non-negotiables, making things happen like that.
Right.
And that's where you really put yourself into the serious and not unserious conversation is when you build that program up to the level that a place like Duke has, that a place like Houston has under Kelvin Sampson. That's where you really start to see the success is when that program as a whole has some continuity and it is built and there's some understanding of what is expected of you year after year.
And that's where this new regime with Ed Scott can maybe help.
I agree.
Chart a new course there. Can kind of cast a new vision for the program, can sort of lay out some expectations for Penny Hardaway. And at this point in his career and in his journey as a Memphis coach, he might be more inclined to listen. He might kind of have to. To listen to a certain extent when these people come to him and have recommendations or suggestions or ideas. I don't think you just wave it off maybe like you did under Laird Veach, because you know that like I mentioned that relationship started when Penny was in a wonderful position, having landed that number one recruiting class. Laird was new to the job. There were other things for him to work on. He could just take a hands-off approach to basketball. It's a different situation now, and that could be good if Penny is willing to lean into that and accept some guidance and some counsel, you know, from some really good administrators that are now part of that athletic department.
Now, real quick, before I let you roll, I did finally see this last night. They posted the opening line for Florida State and Memphis in 2 weeks. Now, Memphis is going to have to deal with Troy, and Troy's going to be physical, and that's going to be a tougher game. But we are definitely looking forward to that game in Florida State, at Florida State in Tallahassee. 1.5-point favorite Florida State is after losing their first two games of the year. They're 0-2 in the ACC, 0-2 overall before we even have reached week two. That has the dynamics of that matchup have completely flipped in 2 weeks.
I never would have thought Memphis would go down there and that would be a toss-up. That right. is, that's crazy. But if you watch Florida State play, it makes total sense. I mean, they couldn't stop Boston College, and that offense is anemic. I mean, I've never seen a Mike Norvell offense struggle like they are struggling right now. Wow.
We talked about it, too, before even week zero, David. We said, okay, DJU is different than any other quarterback he's ever had. Is he going to have the answers if it doesn't work out in week zero? And he doesn't have the answers to make it happen. When DJU's been successful, you have a good running game, you get into some play-action concepts, you make some easy reads for him, and I just don't know if that offense has the ability to go make that happen. The run game was terrible, 21 yards against Boston College. And then I think that hurts DJU pretty substantially. I don't think DJU is the worst quarterback in the world. He just needs a certain type of offense that I don't know if Norvell can run out there for him.
Yeah, wow. Give me Memphis' own Brock Glenn.
Yeah, why not? Honestly, but seriously, I don't think it can hurt. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, you got to see, right? Like, you got to see if you can recover. It would be a miracle at this point for Florida State to reach the ACC title game, but it could happen. They're 0-2 in the league, but if they won out in the league, you get to the ACC championship game, you got a chance. Like, you got to respect the fact that you still have a chance, however faint of a chance that is. But I don't think they're far from just having to turn the page on this season and saying, you know what? We went out and got some one-year rentals out of the portal. It's not working. Now we got to start thinking about 2025. And in which case, if you do that, then I think you got to start thinking about making a change at quarterback, because DJU is not going to be back, and Brock Glenn could be. And if you give him some reps and some in-game opportunities, then maybe you're better set up for success next season. I don't think that'll happen against Memphis. It would be a really cool story, obviously, if it did. But I mean, it's wild how quickly Florida State has fallen, and how much that changes the perception of, hey, it's not just go down there and keep it competitive if you're Memphis. It's, hey, let's go down there and win.
Yes, yep. It's not a free shot anymore. I hate that, though, honestly. I hate that for that program.
Well, hey, look, nobody's going to hold it against Memphis if they go down to Tallahassee and they lose to a Florida State team that's coming off of a bye that's super angry, right? Like, in the grand scheme of things, Memphis could recover from a loss. But, like, yeah, it's absolutely a winnable, gettable game at this point.
Yep, for sure. Well, David, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk again on Friday.
All right, man. Sounds good.
Yes, sir. That's David Cobb, college basketball, college football writer at CBS Sports, on X at David W. Cobb. And he's brought to you by Oxbow, family-owned and operated retail store right there off Poplar. You pass it every day. Stop passing it and go in. Off Poplar on June Road behind the Amoco Station, 964 June Road to be exact, two-story storefront. Beautiful, beautiful store in general. You can go in and pet Earl the dog. He is a A-list celebrity here in the city of Memphis. But the top floor, you're going to get your hunting and outdoor essentials. Bottom floor, gift-giving destination of the city of Memphis. You can get a gift for yourself or a gift for somebody else. I mean, they have, like, Arbo's cheese dip. They have, soaps and, the deodorants. They have everything in there. They also have the best clothing. Genteel, Free Fly, Fair Harbor, Duckhead, Mizzen, and Maine. Great brands. And they have your favorite teams as well. They have Grizzlies, Tigers, your SEC favorites, Ole Miss, Alabama, Tennessee, you name it. They have it over at 964 June Road. But they also have sports memorabilia. They have everything you possibly need. And if you're going to, and this is what I want to focus on, if you're going to go tailgate, whether it's at the Grove or Tiger Lane, I know I got to enjoy some tailgating for that North Alabama game. Make sure that you get over to Oxbow. They have cups, coolers, koozies. They have tumblers, all in the best brands. They have Yeti. They have Arctic. Whatever you need, they have for your tailgating experience over at Oxbow. But you can get it all online as well. Go to shopoxbow.com. Again, shopoxbow.com. And when you go to checkout, use my promo code, The Gabe Show. All caps, no spaces, The Gabe Show. And you'll get 20% off your online order at shopoxbow.com. But whether you're going online or in store to 964 June Road, remember to shop local, shop Oxbow. We need to go ahead and get into a trip around the National Football League. That's going to be next, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now back to the Gabe Kuhn Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's time for a trip around the National Football League. And Connor, you can go ahead and hit it. Let's get it going.
The Los Angeles Chargers.
All right, how about the Chargers? They released their first depth chart And a guy by the name of Scott Matlock, a defensive lineman out of Boise State who was drafted in the sixth round in 2023, has been named the Chargers' starting fullback. He is 6'4", 300 pounds. Jim Harbaugh is clearly changing everything about that offense. Justin Herbert is not going to be featured. They're going to feature a very strong run game. They're going to feature Scott Matlock absolutely trampling linebackers and defensive ends the entire year on running back leads. This is going to be great to watch. I have no idea if the Chargers are going to win. In fact, I don't think the Chargers are going to be a very good team this year. But if they have Scott Matlock, a 6'4", 300-pound man playing fullback consistently, I will be watching, and I will be watching closely. And I will be clipping every single pancake he has, every roach he has. I'm all in on this. Absolutely love it.
The San Francisco 49ers.
So we talked about Ricky Pearsall. He got shot in the chest in an attempted robbery by a 17-year-old over the weekend. It was on Saturday, on September 1st. And he's good. He's okay. He's been discharged from the hospital. He was even seen in the 49ers weight room, over the weekend and yesterday. But the 17-year-old boy who shot Ricky Pearsall has been charged with attempted murder. And he's going to go to court. That's what needed to happen. But that's the update on Ricky Pearsall.
The San Francisco 49ers.
Yet again, there's a lot going on with the 49ers. Should I be concerned about that? Should we be concerned about the San Francisco 49ers? They've had a lot of drama. They finally signed back Trent Williams. They had the Brandon Ayuk drama. They've had the Ricky Pearsall thing. Nothing they can do to avoid that. But the conversation about the 49ers has been a little bit of dysfunction. We've been talking about dysfunction a lot today. Been a little bit dysfunctional with the San Francisco 49ers, and that's not usually what you think about that team. But I've always thought the Lions have a better roster. I like the Lions in the NFC, so this makes me feel better about my pick. But Brandon Ayuk finally got to the podium to talk to the media about his contract dispute this entire time. And he admitted at the podium, yeah, I was really trying to drive up the price. They offered me $26 million. We got to $30 million. But at the end, I made it a lot more difficult than it needed to be. And if you read the reports, he did. August 12th, he was offered 4 years, $120 million. He still kept his trade request in, still tried to see what he could do to get more money. And the 49ers said, dude, it's 4 years, $120 million. You have a chance to go win a Super Bowl, have a chance to play in the playoffs. Do you want it or do you not want it? So Brandon Ayuk acknowledged, yeah, I made it a lot harder than it needed to be.
The Denver Broncos.
Okay, this is big, big news. If you follow contracts in the National Football League, which we do, the Broncos and two-time Pro Bowl cornerback out of Alabama, Pat Surtain II, reached an agreement today on a four-year, $96 million extension that is almost nearly all guaranteed. 77.5 of the $96 million is guaranteed. That makes him the highest paid defensive back in NFL history, and he also has the highest guaranteed money for a defensive back in NFL history. It's needed. They needed to go do this. We had some questions, though, about this. They had a lot of dead money that they were throwing at Russell Wilson for the year. They have a lot of dead money in general. They're not in a very good cap situation. There was some thoughts with all the Russell Wilson things spinning late last season that they may have to let him walk or they're not going to be able to pay him money, but they pay him money. They needed to do it. He is the best up-and-coming cornerback in the NFL, and I don't think it's particularly close.
The Atlanta Falcons.
All right, so I want to relate this to fantasy football, Connor. I just want to do it this way. Have you drafted Kyle Pitts in any of your fantasy leagues?
No.
Okay. I am one of those who I wanted to draft him. I was ready to get my heart broken again, but I figured, you know, he's got Kirk Cousins. You know, there's other people taking the shine off him, so he may have a really big year as opposed to having Desmond Ridder throw him balls, Taylor Heineke throw him balls, guys like that. So I figured it'd be a bigger year for him, and it still could be. But he was limited in practice today due to a hamstring injury. So you people that drafted Kyle Pitts, be careful, tread lightly. But I was so ready. I can say that. I'm gonna be honest. I didn't get him in any of my leagues, but I was so ready to hop into the Kyle Pitts drama again and have my heart broken. I was so ready to do it, but I just didn't get the opportunity.
Somehow the only Falcons player I walked away with in all of my fantasy drafts was Drake London.
That's a good one.
I didn't go after Bijan. I wanted to. But I chose Brees.
If Kyle Pitts can steer clear of the soft tissue and deal with this hamstring, issue accordingly, I think he could really be one of the best tight ends of fantasy football this year. He has all the makings of it, and he finally has a damn quarterback. It's not that hard to understand. The guy that was throwing him balls to, I don't know if we've discussed this heavily, the guy that has been throwing him balls the last 2 years, Desmond Ridder, got cut.
Yeah.
By the freaking Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, by the way, who allowed him to make a DoorDash commercial? Who thought that was a good idea? I guess it was a good idea in that he got money, but...
Sure, but that's going to be used against him. Go do that. That's what everybody's going to say.
Immediately.
Yeah, go do that. You're not an NFL quarterback. I hate that I was right the entire time about him. Can I be honest? I hate that I was right.
It was so obvious what was going to happen with him.
Everybody was trying to make him his first-round quarterback. Everybody was trying to... He didn't do much at Cincinnati. I know he's the offensive player of the year, but he ran the ball a lot. And all the throws he made, it was just like he wasn't overly accurate. Couldn't really throw on the run, even though he's athletic. There's just nothing about him that ever jumped off the page for me as NFL-caliber quarterback, and we're now seeing that he's going to be fighting to stay on a practice squad the rest of his career. Not surprising to me. I do hate that I was right, though. I hate that I was right, because I do think Desmond Ridder is a good enough human being. He seems like a good guy. Seems like a good guy, but he's just not a good NFL quarterback. And we've seen plenty of examples of that.
Get your food to you warm.
DoorDash. Is that his next career? Is that his next career, Connor? You tell me. Now, you've heard us talk a lot about FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Well, we have something a little bit different for you now. Through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then with the YouTube TV base plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon out-of-market game. All you need is a Google account and a current form of payment, and you can cancel anytime. Just visit FanDuel.com/GabeK. That's G-A-B-E-K. Again, G-A-B-E-K to download America's number one sportsbook. You must be 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Full price of NFL Sunday Ticket will be automatically charged seasonally after your free trial. There is no refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes do apply. And if you have a gambling problem, don't hesitate. Make sure that you reach out to the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Now, small talk is on the way. Next, right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. Don't want to waste any time. Let's get to small talk.
Here on 92.9, we talk ball every weekday from 4 till 7 p.m. Except right now, it's time for Big Man Small Talk on 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show.
And Small Talk is brought to you by Conway Services, reputable service available 7 days a week. Connor, I have to bring you in on this because this has got to be the most foolish thing I've seen in the past 24 hours. Have you seen that there's a lot of people out there on social media that are trying to use fake documents to prove that Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and their relationship is ultimately a fake PR stunt? Have you seen
this
stuff?
No, I haven't seen this.
There is a fake document out there that Travis Kelce's team and Taylor Swift's team are trying to push against right now because there's a lot of people, and I think there was a lot of people from the front end that tried to accuse them of this without trying to use fake documents. They're trying to accuse them of being in a relationship strictly for PR, for the NFL's benefit, for Taylor Swift's benefit. It's absolutely nuts. And, you know, most people have, government organization have pushed back against this. Obviously, Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce's people pushed back against this. But this is the latest in misinformation that is just completely annoying and ridiculous that we continue to just let perpetuate on social media. And I'm sorry. I know there's Elon Musk fans out there, and I'm glad Elon Musk is bringing his supercomputer here, could create jobs, do all these things in Memphis. But I feel as if Elon Musk has just perpetuated this and allowed this to happen step by step by step. It's very frustrating.
No, it's a cesspool now. It's a cesspool.
It's worse than that, honestly. I don't even think that does it justice.
There's
anymore.
A reason I don't use it much anymore. This just turned into a place to where somebody would be like, hey, I like this thing, and then everybody tells them how stupid they are for liking that thing and how it's the woke mind virus and all that crap. It's absolutely insane. There's a reason people don't want to advertise on the site anymore.
Well, there's a lot of political advertising.
Here's what I'm going to say.
I can't do anything about it either.
Here's what I
scroll through and see, you know, Tim Kaine and freaking who else? Ted Cruz, and I can't do anything about it. I've tried to get rid of all of these political advertisements. Can't do a
thing. Oh, and there's like
thing.
15 different buttons now on screen to be
nuts,
like,
man.
Upgrade. It's like, no, I'm not paying
I'm not
for
upgrading.
This thing. It's not happening. But no, to your point, I will say, you know, I think know which way I lean. It's never been really a secret. Let's just say I have super right-wing things popping up on my For You page that I know for sure isn't my algorithm.
Exactly.
And I keep thinking to myself, right. How do those get there? That's not a movie thing. That's a very odd thing to be on my timeline. So I always click the thing that's like, why this? And then every once in a while, it'll be like, see less of this. But most of the time, it's like, upgrade to premium.
Well,
and you won't get to see this anymore.
You get shadow banned if you take those ads
down. Oh, I'm pretty sure I've been.
You're well beyond shadow banned.
Well beyond that. Well beyond that.
All right, now, final thing I do want to bring up before we get into hour number three and talk more of the Tiger staffers, four staffers been let go. Jason Munns will definitely enlighten us on this. Are you familiar with the show 1,000 Pound Sisters?
Yeah.
So Amy Slayton, she got into some hot water over the weekend. She's one of the 1,000 Pound Sisters. And I believe it's a TLC show. Is that where it's on?
I think so, yeah.
But on September 2nd, this Monday, she was bitten by a camel at a zoo. And while she's bitten, she has like this, you know, deal. She got it all wrapped up, and she told, you know, the people that were responding, hey, go get her purse, and there was police on hand. Well, they go to get her purse, they open it up, and they find a bunch of weed and shrooms in there.
Good for
her. So she got charged with child endangerment.
Oh.
She got charged
child
with...
child endangerment.
And then she got...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Got charged with the shrooms and the marijuana.
Why child endangerment?
Because the drugs were in the car with her two children.
Oh! Yeah. I take back the good for her. That's bad. Didn't know she had kids.
I mean, to get close enough to a kid, this crossed my mind, and this was my first thought when I saw that there were mushrooms in her purse. She probably took a few of those mushrooms to get that close to a camel to get bitten, right?
Definitely.
She was a little too comfortable in her 100%. Own skin.
Listen,
to get that close
100%.
To a camel. 100%. Like, there's just no doubt in my mind that's how that ended up.
100%.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Camels are aggressive, too.
Yeah, she was trying to have a day at the zoo, though.
Listen.
Golly.
Not mushrooms.
She was getting psychedelic to go see the animals.
Walking around the zoo on a Saturday.
It's a good time.
Good time.
Yeah.
Good time. It got offered to us over the weekend, but I don't think I can do it right now. I'd be crying the whole time.
Yeah.
They all look like Memphis.
I hear you. But yeah, it sounded like she wanted to have a nice little Monday with her kids. And
Monday? Shrooms on a Monday?
Yeah. Sounds like she wanted to have a nice little Monday with her kids.
Man.
Got a little bit too close to a camel. She got bitten and then got charges.
Can't do it.
Tough stuff.
I did see the photo. That's a crazy photo. It's a tough look.
Which photo?
Her, what's it called? I'm completely blanking.
Wait, her what?
The photo that when you get arrested, what's it called?
Oh, her mugshot.
Mugshot.
No, it's nuts.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
No, the eyes go in two different ways.
Oh, no, her eye has a mind of its own.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing is, that thing goes traveling. That thing packs its bags every day.
It was still on shrooms?
Yeah.
One eye was still on shrooms?
Well, no. I think maybe the shrooms, like, accentuated it, but it's normally like that. But let's go ahead and grab a break. Get to hour number three. We'll talk with Jason Munns next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.